In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. This is called the Sunday of the Last Judgment. Some people might prefer to say that it is Meat Fair Sunday, because this is the last day that we can have meat, or that we should eat meat. We should not eat meat all of next week, and all the way until Pascha. And you can have anything else you want besides meat, cheese, eggs, etc., fish, but not meat. So, what is this gospel trying to tell us? What is it saying? The gospel is about the judgment, but it's about more than the judgment. It's really very similar to the epistle. The epistle is about eating meat. It doesn't matter if you eat meat or you don't. I suppose it matters if you should be fasting and you eat meat. But in general, if you eat meat or not, you're not better or worse. But in those days, there was a custom to sacrifice meat to idols, and then that meat would be sold in the marketplace. Or sometimes even in the temple, they would set up tables and they would eat the meat there, they eat the food there. There once was, I think in Dallas, there was a Hindu temple, they might still do it. They serve a free lunch for everyone. You can go in there and have a free vegetarian lunch if you wish. And so people would buy the meat or they'd go and eat it, and they were Christians. But other people were offended by this because, of course, this was meat that had been sacrificed to idols. So St. Paul talks about this. He tells it really doesn't matter if you eat meat sacrificed to idols unless you offend your brother. And that's the important point. How would you know if you offend your brother or not? You'd know by being observant of your brother. You'd know by being able to see past your own nose. You'd know by loving your brother, by knowing him, and by being responsive to his needs. Basically, the judgment that Jesus is talking about, where he has the criteria, you did not feed me, you did not visit me in prison, when I was sick you did not visit me or help me, when I was thirsty you didn't give me to drink, when I was naked you did not clothe me. Isn't that the same idea? That we must be aware of the needs of our brothers and sisters. We must not be indifferent to them. We must not be focused on ourselves. I talked last night about, I thought, a very interesting quote from Linus Pauling. He said, when we should do 120% of what we think other people would do for us to correct for subjective error. I thought that was so clever and so correct, that we must do beyond what we think, and we must always be searching to find the more absolute truth about what things are, what a person's needs are, or that we haven't been wronged as much as we think we have. It goes both directions, either thinking more positively or more negatively about something. And what is that from? How would we be able to correct this subjective error? We correct it by living as Christians, by loving our brother. So people think of Great Lent, unfortunately, they think of it as this arduous thing where, oh man, the first time of the year now, for 40 days, really 50, I got to not eat meat, and I can't even have cream in my coffee, and well, maybe I'll have cream, but I won't eat meat. And I'll go to some more services maybe, but they're so long. A lot of people think of Lent as something arduous and difficult. I don't think of it that way at all. I think of it as, well, Lent happens in the springtime, doesn't it? What's happening in the spring? The earth is coming alive, right? Things are getting green. Things are budding. Soon we'll have fruit. Lent is a time for us to come alive. It's a time for us to be aware more. Be more aware of our sins, certainly. But also be more aware of life in front of us. To not be indifferent about life in front of us. So this judgment, you can definitely speak of it in a fire and brimstone way. And it's been done many times. I've never done it, though. I think that we, human beings, react more to positive growth. Even the psychologists know it. If you know about B.F. Skinner, it's very clear that you can learn better with reward than you can with punishment. It's very clear. For animals, for people, doesn't matter. God rewards us. He doesn't punish us. We punish ourselves. The people who were judged in this 25th chapter of St. Matthew, they judged themselves because there were people who were hungry, they didn't give them to eat. People who were thirsty, they didn't give them to drink. They were either indifferent, or they didn't even notice at all because of their indifference. Either they said, I'm not going to give that person a bottle of water, I need it. Or they just weren't even aware. Either way, they were not aware. They didn't help someone in need. They didn't visit someone who was sick or in prison. They didn't clothe someone who was naked because they didn't care. Not enough to see the need of someone right in front of them. And so the Lord says, depart from me. I don't know you. The reason he said, I don't know you is because they didn't become like him. That's our whole task. That's what I talk to you about all the time. In my opinion, the most important verse in the entire scriptures is in Genesis, when God says, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness. I think if you put that into a bottle and it put it into the ocean and it went to 1,000 desert islands, that would be enough for a person to save their soul, if they understood what that means. What it means is you're born to become perfect, which means you're born to be like God. And God knows all things. And God cares for all things, even for the lilies of the field, even for the birds of the air. He cares about every one of them. He even knows about the hairs on our head. Now, of course, we can't have that level of knowledge. It's not possible. But we can be aware of the needs of our brothers and sisters. I want you to struggle during Great Lent. I want you to do more prostrations or start doing them. I want you to fast. I want you to feel hungry during the day. I want you to decide, no, I'm not going to have potato chips. I'm not going to snack. I want you to do all those things. But not because they're an end in and of themselves. They are things that will open your heart more. And then you'll look around you and then you'll see what the world is like. I've told people, I have this little thought experiment, that everybody could become priest for a day. Sort of a metaphorical day, because it would have to be more of like priest for, well, I've been a priest now for 26 years. And when you've been a priest for 26 years, you've seen everything. You're aware that all of us are just so needful for the grace of God. Every one of us. Every one of us is weak. Every one of us has problems. Almost every one of us is in crisis. We should have an awareness of that. Now, a priest hears about crises all the time. So I'm told about crises. But also, we develop sort of hearing so that we can hear it and see it. Eyes so that we can see it, because it's kind of what we do. But it's also what you do, because you're also priests as well, right? You're part of the royal priesthood. What does a priest do? A priest takes things that are mundane, your hands and your feet and your body and bread and wine and clothing and postage, whatever it is, and uses it for God's work, for his people. You might use postage to write people in prison. You might use your hands to help someone or clothing to clothe someone. You must develop eyes to see these things. And this is your opportunity. Great Lent is your opportunity. Not just for struggle. You must have the struggle. If you don't have the struggle, you won't figure it out. But that's not at all the point of Great Lent. The point of Great Lent is your heart opens a little bit. There's a little crack in your heart that wasn't there before. And light goes in there. And it stays in there. And it illuminates something that was dark. Perhaps you were not so, I don't know, you were indifferent about someone in your office. And then you realize, you look at them with a new eyes. And you see their need. And maybe you help them in some way. Even if you just pray for them. Or even if you just give a kind word to them. This is the purpose of Great Lent, for our heart to open. And the judgment story here, by the way, it's not a story, it's a recounting of what's going to happen, right? It's not a fictional story, it's not a parable. This is what's going to happen. This story, this recounting of a future event, should make us see how critical it is for us to open our hearts now so that we're not unaware of what's happening. We're not indifferent. We should have awareness, not indifference. We should have love for others, not self-love. We should be thinking of others, not of ourselves. And that's the whole point of this great Lent, to become more like God, to think of others more completely. That's the whole reason for it. So if we don't really have idols, meat that is sacrificed to idols anymore, but there's many other things that happen in this world where people can be confounded and confused, be aware of it. Open up your heart. God will help you. That's the purpose of Great Lent. I hope you fulfill it this year. I hope you struggle, but I also hope very much that you have some light come in. That's the whole purpose of Great Lent, to have light come in your heart. And it's a glorious thing when a little light comes in your heart. God bless you.